You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Open line.
Now, as you know, I am most active on Twitter in the morning. In the afternoons, I try and do other stuff. So waking up this morning and seeing Barry Bateman trending, who is my colleague here at Prime Media, and someone alerted me to this last night, and also hashtag POES, I can't utter that word, and as Aki just said, imagine trying to explain that trending word to someone who's not South African. Good luck in doing that, using euphemisms, and then Malema is still trending as well. And then a lot of people had sent me a video last night of Malema doing an ad hoc presser, or a part of, not even ad hoc, a press conference yesterday, where he had said a bunch of things, and at one stage it looked in the video as if Barry had asked a question of Julius Malema. Julius responded in a particular way, and then you can't quite hear what Barry is saying, but if you don't need to be able to read lips to be able to see that it looks as if he's swearing at Malema. And that raises a couple of questions that many of you have asked me on WhatsApp, for example. What is your company doing about it? What do you think about it, Eusebius? And in a context where there is often tension between journalists and politicians, I thought that it is important for us to go there. It's never easy, and it's always awkward by definition, to critique your own. Journalists also don't like, as I said to one of my colleagues this morning, to be part of the news. But you know what? Self-examination is important, number one. And number two, very often in the commercial media, we are very quick to lampoon, to critique, to dissect what happens at the SABC as a public broadcaster, but we're not as good at self-examining ourselves, right? And I think it's very important that the media learn to self-examine. That's really, really important. So to that end, I am grateful. I think it is the right thing to do, but nevertheless, I am grateful, A, because she's very busy, and B, because she understands the awkwardness as well of this, that Barry Bateman's line manager, Mashlatse Mashlatse, who is group editor-in-chief at Eyewitness News at EWN, is joining me now on the line for a couple of minutes. I'd asked Barry to come on. He had declined to come on. It's nothing I can do about that. And he was very short and crisp in his just saying to my producer in communication telephonically that he can't come on, whatever that might mean. But right now joining me on the line is Mashlatse. Mashlatse, good morning, and thank you so much at short notice for coming on and postponing other stuff that you need to do for a couple of minutes. I appreciate it.
No, good morning, and thank you very much, Eusebius. I agree with you in terms of, you know, it's always awkward, but I think holding each other accountable is also important, and the first prize is at least to have a conversation with our listeners so we can explain to them, because we owe it to them. They are also asking the question.
I think that's spot on. So when this surfaced, and I think one or two of our media colleagues, maybe at other media houses, went, wait, what? Does that look like what I think it is, even though I can't clearly hear the audio? Then very quickly, the clip obviously went viral. When it came to your attention, A, how did you react immediately? And then after your initial reaction, how did you then proceed from the point of view of being the editor-in-chief?
So the tweet was actually brought to my attention by the news editors who were on duty at the time. And all of them, of course, were concerned. And they found it very important to actually make sure that I actually see it. And the first reaction from my side was to basically take Barry Bateman off air. Remember, he had gone to cover this Julius Malema going to meet with the Hawks, and I found that it would have been in conflict to have the same person reporting on that particular story. And but we also still felt that the story was important to continue carrying it, so it happened without the voice of Barry Bateman, and the story went through, obviously, our normal editorial processes, because it was still an important story to cover. And from that, I mean, we had a very brief conversation with Barry, but also internally it was basically to just say that we will be holding an internal probe into the matter. We are starting with a meeting that will happen today, and we are hoping that from there we'll follow the processes. And that part of that process is to allow for Barry to also put his side of the story, and then decisions will be taken from there in terms of whether there is a disciplinary disciplinary inquiry or not, but obviously the internal process will go on starting from today.
When you decided to take him off air immediately, what was the logic internal to that decision? What were you trying to signify?
Look, we needed to protect the integrity and the credibility of that story. Obviously, you have somebody who has just used foul language. And maybe to clarify, Eusebius, the foul language used by Gary was after the press conference. It had ended. He was having, it's not easy to see in that video, but he was having a conversation with a reporter who had sat down during that press conference. But he was, of course, caught on camera using the language that he used that we don't promote as eyewitness news. And our first thought when we took him off air was that we needed to protect the credibility and the integrity of that story. It would, I think, have been improper for us to continue with Gary's voice on that story following what he was caught saying. The reality is that whether it was a private conversation or not, we all got to hear it. And it's always that difficult line about, you know, things that you say in private and then obviously when you're standing there as a representative of EWN, we expect you to uphold certain standards. So that was the first decision. We said, let's protect the integrity of the story. It was a necessary story that needed to be told, but let it not be with Barry's voice.
Absolutely. I wondered, as a, obviously not just as your colleague, but also someone who attaches a lot of credibility to EWN, whether Barry accepted as common cause that that's indeed what he uttered, given that the wording was not explicit. I assume, but tell me if I'm speaking incorrectly in terms of my assumption, I assume that he accepts the facts are what you have just been implicitly saying they are in terms of what he had said.
Look, yes, as I said, the conversation was brief, and part of it being brief was just so that we allow processes to actually happen. I mean, I don't think any of us want to live in a country where decisions are taken on the hub.
Sure.
We still have to allow processes to happen, and this is why today's meeting and giving him an opportunity to write formally what his response is quite critical. But he does not dispute the words that we saw of that video and the words that he actually used. Obviously, there's things that happened that led to him saying that, but I think that is for him to actually speak and explain what was going through his mind at the time.
Third last question. I've had a number of women say to me one of the reasons why they were disappointed in him isn't because of how he behaved in relation to a politician, but that invariably, particularly in the context of gender-based violence discussions going on, it is interesting how the slur that was being used, the derogatory word, refers to women's genitalia. And in that sense, it was deeply misogynistic, quite apart from being a bad day at the office in terms of losing your cool.
Agreed, 100%. First of all, that's my thoughts exactly as a woman, and why is that particular word? And we know the history, the background, and what it says to me, to any woman who hears that word being said, and especially at the time that we are living in. But obviously, those conversations that we have every day, you see, in terms of, you know, our day-to-day language, we must be very careful what we are saying, and we can't excuse it. I mean, for me as EWN editor in chief, is that we should always hold ourselves on a higher moral ground. We can't even be comparing ourselves with, oh, when this incident happened, so and so didn't apologize. I mean, people were coming to me saying that Julius Malema berated a BBC journalist and Up to Date has never apologized. And that was during a press conference, and he was inside Victoria House in his official capacity and was very much aware of the cameras. And I said to them, that is not the standards we hold ourselves on. We have to expect better of our reporters, and our code of conduct is actually quite clear in terms of how we present ourselves in the public. And unfortunately, in this day and age, separating that private and public will always be difficult because you are a representative of an organization, and people don't say, oh, you know, UCBS was it now on his off time.
Mm-hmm. You've answered the second last question I had, but let me ask it explicit just for the sake of tying a bow around it. My second last question was going to be, what do you say if one plays devil's advocate to people that say, okay, but Julius deserves his comeuppance, journalists are also human, and when you have someone millimeters away from you with that kind of fiery political rhetoric, sure, the guy is a journalist, but he's also a citizen and a human being, and from time to time, it will be very difficult to only wear your hat as a journalist. We are not robots. What do you say to someone that may have sympathy for Barry in that regard?
Look, it's always a difficult one. But we always say to our reporters, hold yourself on a higher standard.
Mm.
We cannot allow for the situation to deteriorate. And in our interaction, it's that where you might be having a very difficult interview with CBS,
yes.
And you know at the back of your mind there are things that you would like to say, and you start remembering that you are on the radio. And,
yeah.
And on this instance, Barry, the press conference had actually ended. Some reporters have said to me, you know, we have been in that situation where after the press conference, and I have said, oh, this was just a whole lot of twerk that the minister was saying and
yes.
all of that. But once it comes to the public eye, we have to deal with it. And I think that that is the conversation that we will have, and part of the process that we will have about when do we actually distinguish? Should we actually get somebody else who's outside of our space to come and give a view on this? But it has happened, and we have to deal with it and try and find answers to this very difficult question. You know, what do you do when people are sharing their own personal opinion in what they think is a private space, but obviously ends up in the public arena?
That's right. And then last but not least, Mashlate, has EWN suffered reputational damage?
Of course we have. I mean, as I say, we are, Barry Bateman is our senior reporter and one of the most known EWN reporters, and we can't just, people have not separated the person and the brand of EWN. And part of coming on to your show, CBS, is basically so that the listeners can hear us and we can ask us these very difficult questions. Some of the answers, maybe in a few days' time, I might have a better answer
for, sure.
For them. But rather actually be on air and actually try as much as possible to answer where we can and to actually assure the listeners that we are taking the matter seriously and we are going to be holding an internal probe. It will bring up what it brings up, but at least we have to be seen to be dealing with the matter, and that is what we're doing.
Mashlate, thank you for coming on and allowing me as your colleague to hold you accountable. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That was Mashlate Mashlase, who is, of course, the group editor-in-chief of EWN.